please, 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter number 11. Let's stand, please, while we read the Word of God. Keep your Bibles open here. We'll be looking at several things out of chapter 12. But in 2 Samuel chapter number 11, verse 27, "And when the morning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife, and bare him a son. But the thing that David did, that David had done, displeased the Lord." Now, I want you to get that. "The thing that David had done displeased the Lord." In verse number 9 of chapter 12, "Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife. Hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon." What a sad commentary here on David we have in the Bible. But I pray that God will help us to glean some lessons from this that will help us tonight. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege we have to pray. And thank you, Lord, tonight that we can come together like this in fellowship, enjoy the singing of the songs and fellowship, hearing the testimonies. And Father, surely it's been good to be in the house of God. I thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon us today. And then, Father, I'm thinking of those who have shared with us throughout the day, some that's going to have surgery and some that is going through a tough time, some that needs help in various ways in their lives, and then some that has people in their families and friends that they need God. And I pray for them, and I'd ask you in Jesus' name, God, that you'll speak to hearts and you'll touch lives, magnify yourself and get glory. Thank you now for the Word of God that we have before us. And I praise you and thank you, God, that you give us thy word. And you said thy word would be a light in their feet. And so I pray tonight you'd help us with thy word. Help us to share it like you want us to share it. Help us preach with the anointing power of God be upon us. Lord, I need you now. I ask in Jesus' name for that divine touch and illuminate our minds. Help us to think. And I plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ in his name and for his glory we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. I do not know the hearts of people. I have no idea of the hearts of every individual or any individual. Only God knows the heart. Fact is, the Bible says we don't know our own heart. Holy Spirit has to search us out. God has to reveal ourselves to ourselves, else we don't know ourselves. And so tonight I pray that God would help us as we let him turn searchlight in upon us and that we may get some help. I thought after this morning, and I was thinking, boy, it'd be good tonight to come back and preach shouting hallelujah and God bless you and everybody doing fine. But that wasn't what God said. So I don't know any better than just try to obey God and do what God says. So you help me tonight as we endeavor to do this. What my title, and I thought about what the title is. I just put it like this: Lessons We Learn from a Great Man's Sin. Lessons we learn from a great man's sin. And I pray God would help us with that. Now, David, you remember David as a young man and certainly loved God, had God on him. And you remember when he went out there to fight Goliath and the army of Israel was hiding and they were afraid. And Goliath's coming out every day and saying, "Give me a man, give me a man. So fight me," and said, "If he wins, we'll serve you." Philistines would serve him. "And if I win, then y'all be our servants." And so Saul and his crowd, they had the soldiers, and Saul was of high stature because when he was crowned king, said he stood head and shoulders above the others. So he was of large build and was a man undoubtedly, but Goliath was a giant. And he come out there and roared and said, "Give me a man. Nobody go fight him." Here come a little shepherd boy, David, and his father sent him to see about his brothers. He got out there and he heard Goliath making his cry. And David, he wondered why nobody go fight him and was asking, "Why doesn't somebody go get this man? He's blaspheming the God of Israel." Boy, he had that right. And he was concerned about the fact that Goliath was blaspheming God and Israel was being put down and Israel being put to shame. And so he cared about that. And nobody would go. And finally David said, I'll go fight him. And they said, you can't go. That's a shepherd boy. And his brothers tried to send him back and made fun of him. But David said, somebody needs to go fight him. Then Saul tried to put his armor on him. And that didn't work because it was too big for David. And David hadn't proved it. He said, I can't handle this. And said, just let me go fight him like I've been used to fighting. And he'd been used to taking the bear and the lion out there from the when he was watching the sheep out in the field. And he had a slingshot, and that's all he knew about. And so he said, I'm going in the name of the Lord. And confessed Jesus, the Lord. And, of course, didn't use the name Jesus, but he used the name Lord and said, I'm going in the name of the Lord, God of Israel. And so he got ready and went out there, and you know the story. Took five smooth stones out of the creek, and somebody said, why'd it take five? Somebody said, Goliath had some brothers. I don't know why he took five. Five's a number of grace. But I know one thing, he took five out, but he just needed one. And he took it out, went out there, and Goliath laughed at him. And then he began to curse and blaspheme. And David said, you come in me a sword and spirit. I come in the name of the Lord God of Israel. And he began to throw his sling around and around. The children know a little song about slung it around and around. Then he let it go, and that stone went with the Holy Ghost behind it and hit right in the right place and in the head of Goliath, and he fell flat to the ground. And then David went and took his own sword away from him and cut his head off. I say, praise God. David seemed to be a brave man, knew God. He knew God. I mean, wasn't no question about that. Then as he became, later grew up further in his life and became, he was crowned king and anointed to be king of Israel. Saul sought him. And David wouldn't touch God's anointing. And he hid from him. He'd run from him. David had an opportunity to kill him in the cave. He certainly could have done so. But David said, I can't do this. Cut off a piece of his garment and felt condemned about that because he said, you ought not touch God's anointing. And so he got messed up with that. But David loved God. He confessed God. You never find David bound to idol. He never one time followed Baal. He never one time went in any way like that. In fact, as God said about David, he was a man after God's own heart. You think about that. A man after God's own heart. And so this man was a great man. He loved God. He made great confession of that. Then, of course, Saul finally was killed in battle, and David ruled and reigned. And David certainly was a great king. And he'd go out and fight when Saul was a king. He was a captain of the host and go out and fight the battles and come back in, and they'd sing praises to God. And then they'd say, Saul slain his thousand. And David is tens of thousands. And David certainly was growing in grace and the people's favor. And he was a great man. And you remember one time he brought the ark up and he's praising God. I mean, hallelujah. He got in a good meeting. He had the ark of God. He was jumping up and down and praising God. And Micah looked out the window, his wife, and she made fun of him. And God shut her womb up and said, you'll not have a child. And because you mocked, made fun. Hey, listen, somebody's really praising God. We best just leave them alone, let them praise God. If they're really praising God. I'm not talking about some of this stuff out here, the worldly kind of stuff, junk gets going, but I'm talking about praising God. Amen. Boy, I like to get in service like that. I like to get around where it gets too wet to plow. Amen. And the showers of glory's coming down. And the power, the winds are blowing. And it's getting good. And David was living that kind of life. And David, didn't come a time that the kings go out to battle. And David stayed behind. And David being behind wasn't so wrong in that because he sent the army out to fight the enemy. And some say, well, David shouldn't be in home, ought to be out fighting. That be as it may. I can't answer that question, but I do know this. David saw Bathsheba on the rooftop. And Bathsheba was bathing herself, and David saw her and lusted after her. I mentioned this morning, we see, we desire, and we take. That's how sin works. And so David's problem was this. When he saw her, he could have turned his head. He could have run back in the house. He could have got down and said, Lord, forgive me my fault. He could have got away from it. But no, David continued to lust after her and sent for her and took her. I'm talking about a great man of God. I'm talking about one that certainly stood well above many others. But here was a great man of God that God tells us in his word how he failed God. I say, number one, help us to learn this tonight, Lord, that we, no matter who we are subject to fail. Don't think that you're ever too good that you can't mess up. May God help us when we think that we're beyond. Now, I'm not trying to make excuses for sin. I'm not trying to say it's all right. I'm not trying to say, well, everybody's going to mess up. That's not why. Sometimes we use the phrase, sin more or less, and most of us sin more instead of less anyhow. Everybody does fail God, but we don't have to fail God in gross kind of ways. And a foolish thought is sin. Now that thought may come, but you don't have to leave it there. Hey man, we can pray and ask God to help us plead the blood. And I like that pleading the blood on the mind. And you remember that blood, God said he's looking for it down there. So I was preaching that here not long ago when somebody came to me after service. I was preaching about the mind and thanking me for that thought because God said, I'm looking for the blood. And the blood on the mind certainly keep a destroyer away from our minds. If we keep our mind on the blood of the Lord Jesus and what he did for us at Calvary, it'll help us. But if any of us ever get to the place, no matter how good you think you are, how spiritual you think you are, or how spiritual somebody else thinks you are, or other people have an idea about you or me, that does not mean that we cannot fail God. In fact, is in this day, I'm being amazed at the men that are failing God and preachers that have fallen, and it bothers me. It breaks my heart. Preacher, are you beyond that? I realize the fact I stand here tonight by the grace of God. I realize tonight it's but by the grace of God that I have not fallen. It is by the grace of God that I am where I am. And the word of God, Paul said one time, I am what I am by the grace of God. And that's all of us if we're saved and living for God. And I'm glad that when we do mess up, there's some help. We'll get to that in a little bit. I can't hardly stand myself till I get there because I need help, amen, from time to time. But I want you to know tonight that God's able to help us, amen. He is our help. And here's David, that great man. And we would look at him as man looks at man. And looking at him as a Christian, as a saved man, of course, that's Old Testament, and the church wasn't there, and the Christian name wasn't there, but he loved God, and same God he loved, we love. And remember, God's a Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And so he knew the living God had God's anointing on him, and certainly had God's power upon him, and had the right kind of thing. But yet he let himself. And when that moment of temptation came, somebody said, if temptation and opportunity ever gets together, you better be like Joseph and run. Only way you'll ever make it is run, run, run. Because if you don't, you'll be like David was and you'll mess up sure as a world. And I'm telling you tonight, I'm trying to preach you truth. It'll help you. If somebody here tonight doesn't need it tonight, you're going to need it somewhere down the road soon. And young people, you're going to need it for sure. Because young folk get tempted, and God, the devil, will throw the temptation. But God will make a way escape if you'll let God help you. Amen. Good preaching. Go ahead, preacher. That's good. Young folk need to hear that because the temptation's out there. And it'll be thrown at them from every direction. I mean, sexual sins and drugs and everywhere and all that. Today it's taken so lightly about what sin really is and becomes a commonplace thing. People get used to it. I'm saying to you, the same God of yesterday is the same God of today. And notice verse number 27, my text. He said, and in the last part of it, and about her him taking Bathsheba, but the thing, the last sentence, but the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. It displeased the Lord in verse number 9 of chapter 12. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight And then went on and told him about killing Uriah, Bathsheba's husband. He sent him to the front line and then told the captain of the host to pull the other soldiers back and let him get killed. And he thought, well, he'd get killed in battle. Soldiers get killed in battle and nobody'd ever know the difference. But God knew the difference. God knew what he'd done. God knew his conniving and how he tried to cover it up and hide it. And God knows your cover up and your hiding it, and my cover up, my hiding. God knows our hearts. He knows our minds. He knows how we think and what we really are. I'm saying to you tonight, it doesn't make any difference how good we may look on the outside or what others may think of. It's what God knows about our hearts and what we're harboring within us. Amen. And so may God help us tonight. And like I said, if we don't need it now, we will need it somewhere down the road that God will help us. I remember Joseph when he got in trouble down there. And of course, he was a godly man, loved God, lived for God, sold him by his own brothers and into bondage and went to Potiphar's house and was Potiphar's servant and such a good servant that Potiphar put him over all of his servants and over all of his household. And Potiphar let him take care of all of his business. And Potiphar's wife began to look at Joseph and she desired him and wanted him to lay with her. And so Joseph was in that position. And one time he's in the house taking care of what he's supposed to be doing, doing the work that was his job to do. And she began to come after him. And Joseph ran. She reached out and got his coat and pulled it off of him. But he kept running. I say that's a good testimony. Keep running. Amen. When the temptation's there and the desire is there. And don't tell me he didn't have desire. Joseph, as a young man, I guarantee he had the desire. But God helped him to run. Amen. Praise God. I'm glad. God will make a way of escape for every temptation. He said he would, and he does. And Joseph ran. She lied on him. He went to prison because of it. But he still stood for God. And God still used him. And the end result was he was prime minister of Egypt. Amen. And saved the whole nation and then the nation of Israel along with it. I say hallelujah. It pays to serve the Lord. It pays to run from sin. It pays to get away from that that's wrong. It pays you to be the right crowd. Amen. And young folk, it pays for you to stay in church and live for God. Read your Bible, stay in prayer, and do that that's right. Listen to God's man. Listen to God teaching Sunday school. And listen to those people around you that love God. And let God help you and live the life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It pays. Here's a man and certainly was a great man. And the first lesson is that every person is liable, is a potential to fail God and mess up. And so we all realize that. I'm sure that you realize that truth. But let me say secondly, God still looks on the sin the same way for everybody. Whether it be David or whether it be some poor fella, whether it be Mephibosheth or David or Barnabas or Mark or whoever it was, hey, God looks on sin the same way in everybody's life. Just because we may be a preacher, God doesn't look on sin in my life any different than he looks on sin in your life. And just because you may be in church every Sunday, God doesn't look on your sin any different than he does on somebody isn't in church every Sunday. Amen. Sin is still sin in the sight of a holy God, and God sees it that way. Look back in verse number 7, chapter 12 of 2 Samuel. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Now what Nathan the prophet had done here, he was a prophet that feared God more than he feared man. And God sent Nathan to tell David. And Nathan went out there and told David a story about some sheep, about a lamb that was a poor man's lamb that he had raised in his own bosom, he said. And this is the only lamb that he had, one little ewe lamb. And said this rich man lived beside of him. He had a whole lot of lambs and a whole lot of sheep. But a stranger came by and said this rich man sent to that poor man and took away his little ewe lamb and took that lamb and killed it to feed the stranger with. And David's anger was kindled. He said that man ought to die. And Nathan looked at him, and I believe he pointed his finger at him, and said, thou art a man. Thou art a man. You were one that had failed. You did that. And God smote his heart. And God smote his heart. Hey, I want you to know Nathan the prophet stood and preached and did what God said for him to do. That's what I'm supposed to do. That's what every preacher's supposed to do, is stand and preach the word of God.
and call sin sin. Amen. And so it is. And when our lives are messed up and we get in sin, get caught up in something other than more important in our lives than God, we're wrong. When we let things come in, we ought to be serving God, we're wrong. And when we don't do what God says, we're wrong. I'm saying to you tonight, it's not just not getting drunk or taking drugs or committing adultery, but just not obeying God, just not being what God have us to be for His glory and His honor. God help us that we may realize that sin is exceedingly sinful in the sight of a holy God. Now he called it sin. Notice what happened here. Verse 9. Here went on with this. Wherefore thou hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord, do evil in his sight. And said he despised the commandment of the Lord. When we do something that we know God says don't do, we don't do what we know God says to do, we despise. God said in his word, we're despising his word. Isn't that a harsh condemnation on us? If we fail God, don't do what we ought to do or do what we ought not to do, it's despising God's word. That's what God said here. And said you killed Uriah and went on about this. But now I want you to see this. Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth the spirit, shall the spirit reap life everlasting. God's not going to be made fun of. God's not going to take it lightly. Achan got found out. Sin always finds you out. And so it does. And listen to what happens, the result of this. I'm talking about God looking on sin. Here's a man of God. He'd failed God. He sinned. He come short of the glory of God. He really messed up. God's here bringing him to confrontation with it. God sent a man by to tell him. God was faithful to present it to him the truth. David, you'll find, repented. We'll get to that a little bit later. But right now, I want you to know this. Sin always has a consequence. Always. Listen to what happened, verse number 10. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. He said, because of this, a sword will never depart out of your house. David, a sword never departed from him. You remember when David wanted to build the temple? God said, not so. You can't build the temple because you've shed blood. And blood had been shed and a sword hadn't departed. Sword had never departed out of his house. And always been there and always been a fight. And here he was, and David couldn't build the temple because of his own sin. Look at verse number 11. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. Then went on talking about taking his wives and concubines and so forth. And Absalom did. But he said, I'll raise up trouble out of your own house. He remembered David had a daughter that was raped by a half-brother. He had a son that killed one of his other sons. Had a son that rebelled against him and tried to steal the kingdom away from him. There was trouble raised up out of his own house. You know what brought all this about? Because of sin in his life. And here he is, and he failed God. Hey, I'm telling you, it's serious business to fall and fail God like that. It's serious business when we take it lightly that we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, I realize that David, because of his place of leadership, God really judged him, but God sees sin no different in him than he sees sin in us and sees us the same way. Is that not true? That God loves us all. Does God not love us all the same? Are we not all the same when Jesus died for us? Did he not die for all of us the same way? Did he not give his life for all of us? And same thing about sin in our life. It's the same in his eyes and everybody's life. And so here David's paying the price. And said, I'll raise up trouble out of your own house. And he had that. Can you imagine David when Absalom, his own son, rebelled against him and tried to steal the kingdom, and David even fled and wouldn't kill his own son and fled? Can you imagine how David felt when that was going on? Can you imagine his heart broke and how strong he was? I believe David remembered back what God said by the prophet Nathan and thought about it. I believe he went to close his eyes many of the night and tears run down his face and said, I should never have looked that second time at Bathsheba. I should never have allowed that to happen in my life. Hey, listen, we can read the story. We can know the truth about it. But God help us that it may keep us from doing something similar in our lives. Amen. And so here he is. Now look at verse number 14. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. He said, now David, because you did this, and the enemies of the Lord can blaspheme. And then because of the lightness that you did, when you looked at Bathsheba and when you had her husband killed and you took her to be your wife, and you just pleased God, said, now the enemies of God can bless. Hey, when people of God fail, mess up, and come short of the glory of God, the world stands out and laughs about it and looks at it and says, look at that. And they say they're saved when they mess up. Hey, I'm telling you tonight, somebody said there's hypocrites down at the church. I say amen to that. There he is. And there's hypocrites down at the service station, down at the grocery store, and everywhere else. Amen. But I want you to know there's some genuine folk down at the house of God that loves God too. Hey, someone has a desire in their hearts to live for God, don't want to mess up, want to stay true to God and live like they love God. Amen. And hey, I realize the fact that we all have to pray daily, read our Bibles, and stay close to God, stay in church. But thank God there's some genuine folk that love God. But if we're not careful, that temptation will come by, opportunity to be there. And if we're not on our close to God, walking with Him, we'll mess up. And the world will look at us and laugh at us, make fun of us. Make fun of the church. It brings God's name in the question. It brings Christianity in the question. It brings the church in the question. It brings everything in the question. When a preacher messes up, it breaks my heart, because I know preachers are lumped together by some people and brought into question. But oh my, may the Lord help us to live for God. I realize the fact of my need day by day of God's help to help us. But let me say this to you. He not only said that, but look at verse 14. He said, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. He said, now Bathsheba's going to have a baby. And said, because of this sin, she was the wife of Uriah the Hittite, but you took her, and she's having your child. But said, that baby's going to die because you sinned, and the baby died. David prayed, begged God not to let the baby die. But the baby died. God said it surely die. God meant what he said. The baby died. Result of that. But let me close with a good thought. Look in verse number 13. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned. He got it right. When Nathan the prophet came to him, David didn't get mad at the preacher. David didn't say that preacher ought to mind his own business. David was king. He could have had Nathan thrown out. He could have done whatever he wanted to do. But David didn't do that. David said, I've sinned against the Lord. Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. God said he'd forgive him because he knew David's heart. If you read Psalm 51, it's a great psalm of repentance of David. And he confessed his sin. He said, I've sinned against thee. I've sinned. He didn't say somebody else. Said, in fact is, have you ever noticed that David, not one time, did he say Bathsheba shouldn't have been out there where I could see her. Not one time did he ever say Bathsheba shouldn't have come when I sent for her. Not one time. Not one time did he ever blame her for anything. He said, I've sinned. We sometimes try to say with that this. And I know folk ought to dress right and that kind of thing and all the other stuff. But really when it comes down to our sin, we're guilty. And he said, I've sinned. And he confessed his sin. God said he put it away in the sense that God would forgive him and cleanse him and help him. David was a great man of God. Got restored, and God, he cried to God to restore the joy of his salvation. He got it. He had revival. But he paid the consequences. The results was there. He had to suffer through it anyway because he did what God said not to do. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that the Holy Ghost would take the word of God, speak to every heart. Lord, maybe somebody here tonight that is being tempted. Maybe somebody that's really close to really messing up somewhere. And you're speaking to their hearts and you're trying to help them. Maybe somebody tonight that has messed up needs to get right with God. You're speaking to their heart. Maybe somebody's lost without God. They need just to come and repent and get saved, born in the family of God. Lord, some need to come and cry, restore the joy. It may not have been some gross sin, but just they have strayed away one step at a time, fallen afar off, need you to help them. I pray tonight you'd help us, help all of us to draw closer to you. This invitation, I pray you'd take it, and the Holy Ghost will use it. And we'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.